You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't checked us out yet, go to the gram at Built for the Stage, the talk that ticks at Built for the Stage, or check out the website, builtforthestage.com. Thanks to our producing team, Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. All right, exciting guest as always here on Built for the Stage podcast, coming to us from the magical show of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. I got to see this when it was still a two-part show. It's now condensed down to a one-part show, but don't get it twisted. It's still kind of long, and these cast members are working hard up on that stage because, honestly, it's one of the most, like, it's probably the closest stage show that I've seen that's also, like, a movie, not in this case of The Cursed Child. I don't think that one's a movie, but the guests can correct me if I'm wrong. But anyways, the technical, like, special effects on the stage, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, they're just making it work as best they can. It's a stage. No, this stuff is too legit to quit. So if you haven't seen Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, run to the theater and see it. Our guest has also recently been in a small fire that was opposite of B.B. Newworth, and he's been in various film and TV credits. You can see that on his website in the description of this episode. Please welcome to the podcast, OG Agulue. Hey, OG.
Hi, Joe. You want to give it a go?
How was that workout you just did, huh?
Oh, man. I'm sweating. I'm still sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went in today. So
what was
my day off, so it's like, you know, I gotta do more, you know, on the day off. I got time. Hey, no excuses.
Everyone listen to OG right now. It's his day off. He's still getting it done. Okay, so what was on the docket for your workout? Anything fun today?
Back day, but when I say that, it's so broad because, yes, I focus on back and biceps, but then I do a bunch of other sort of CrossFit-y type things, you know. I was doing burpees and box jumps and,
yeah,
you know, pull-ups and the, what's it called? What's this?
Battle row. The skier. Which, you live in Harlem, you said. What gym do you go to?
I go to Equinox Sports Club. So there's a lot of space.
Yeah,
a lot of equipment. There's a lot of classes. It's great.
Yeah, I asked because a ski erg is not the most common machine to be in regular gyms, so that's cool. So do you like to sprinkle all that stuff in throughout the workout, or do you do more of your basic back pulling movements, and then at the end of the workout, then you'll do some more like functional fitness stuff? How do you like to sprinkle that in?
I sort of go by how I feel. I mean, it's like a rough, you know, I'm not very strict on like, oh, this is chest and I can only do chest, and on Tuesdays back and on Wednesdays this, you know, I like to vary it up.
Yeah.
And so when I say I did back day, yeah, I did my pull-ups and I did my, you know, rows and things like that. But yeah, I sprinkle all that stuff in throughout. And also, you know, when I tell people, you know, yeah, I just got back from the gym. That's not always, for me, a weightlifting or a functional fitness thing. It could be I took a yoga class. I really love yoga. You know, it could be I just, you know, I came and did some jump roping or things like that. So it's pretty varied.
I love that you bring that up, because going to the gym is not always just like max exhaustion or really, oh, that was such a tough workout. Sometimes it's maintenance. Sometimes it's going in just to continue your ritual of showing up. You know, sometimes it's just about going through those doors some days. So I love that you said that.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
So when did fitness become a part of your, everyone listening that loves fitness, you know, embrace this amazing, but everyone that's like, yo, start talking about Harry Potter, we'll get there and we'll get to more about OG as well. But, I want to get OG, is a practitioner of fitness. So let's get into it. When did fitness become a part of your life?
I think it's always been a part of my life, just because I grew up an athlete. And I know you did too. I forget, what did you play?
Growing up, I played baseball, basketball, and football. And then in college, I played football. Mm-hmm.
I played soccer a lot. And I also grew up in Nigeria, and soccer is the number one sport there. So in high school here, I was playing soccer. We had a weight training class. I was doing drama club. They wanted me to join the football team. And, you know, my parents were like, no football, you know. But I tried to stay in any like sporting type things I could. Me and my friends had a little game that we played called flag tag, which is kind of, you know, you're in your wrestling position, but you're sort of sprinting a lot, and it's a made up game, but it incorporates all these different moves from different sports. So, mm-hmm. So I just grew up with an active lifestyle, mm-hmm. also playing sports in school. But I didn't start going to a gym until maybe 5 years ago, you know, regularly.
Yeah. How was that experience?
Before then, it was.
Did you feel comfortable going into the gym because of your athletic background, or was there some type of, you know, getting to know you process as far as getting comfortable with the gym and all of the unique people that come with it?
Lots of unique people, including myself. I don't think I was ever afraid or felt out of place, which I know sometimes can be a barrier for people. For me, it started with group fitness. So I took a lot of CrossFit classes in college and out of college. I was taking CrossFit classes. I was taking yoga classes. And then I was taking yoga classes at a gym, you know? And then it's like, oh, what else can I do? I can do some of those Olympic lifting moves and CrossFit moves at the gym. And then I can figure out what other things work for me. And then now you have social media, you know? So I see someone on Instagram and he's doing something and I get to try it. And maybe I'm using less weight, but I'm trying out the moves and I'm figuring out, you know, the form and things like that. So it was a gradual ease in, but now I get to the gym and just like do whatever I feel like. And I have years of knowledge of what works, what is correct form.
Yeah. Cool. You mentioned that you are one of the unique people in the gym. What are you known for? You know, like when you go to the gym, you're like, oh, there's the person that's always singing like really loud. There's the person that grunts. There's the person that always comes up to me and tries to talk to me for, you know, an hour when I'm trying to, you know, you have all these people. There's the person that always has a matching outfit, like all blue or all pink, or which are you, do you have like a, some type of thing you're known for, you think?
I've been known to, picture a gym floor with, you know, weights and bench press and everyone's, you know, doing their thing on the iron. And in between my sets, you know, I'm doing a handstand or a split or pistol squats, you know, which sort of seems out of place sometimes, depending on what gym you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you have a certain build, or if you're the exercises that you're also doing kind of put you in this category of like, oh, no way could this person do a split. And then all of a sudden you do a split. Sorry, everyone's probably like, oh.
It's a good party trick.
Yeah, yeah. Look at OG pulling this split out of his bag. That's cool. All right. Yeah. So let's go back. So you're from Nigeria. How long until you moved over here?
Well, I say that I'm from Nigeria and I'm from Georgia, because I was born in Atlanta. But my family, I come from a family of immigrants, and I have dual citizenship. You know, I have two passports. Mm-hmm. I grew up here, and then I spent a good portion of my youth, like middle school and some of high school, in Nigeria. So I also say I grew up there.
Yeah. You know?
So I claim both.
How was that? So usually it's, you know, typically just the other way around. You're born in Nigeria, you come over here, but in this case, you were born here, you go to Nigeria, and then you come back. How was that, like, culturally and just making friends? And yeah, how was that growing up?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that I have a soundbite about what that experience is like, because it's like, in some ways, you know, when I first moved, because I sort of moved and was schooling there, and I was there for a long term, several years. I was a foreigner, you know. I'm the American with the weird accent, and then my accent sort of shifts and changes, and then I come back, and I'm seeing some of my friends that I knew when we were kids, but I'm sort of straight off the boat because I'm a sort of a new person, you know, and so. I sort of have to reconfigure, and almost it's code switching, you know. A lot of immigrants and a lot of Black people certainly are familiar with code switching, and that is basically, you know, when I'm around Nigerians, there's a certain way, and then when I'm back, but a lot of the time I was an outsider, you know. I was a foreigner there, and then I'm sort of foreign here, even though I'm a part of both, and both are a part of me.
Yeah. Is the theater community kind of where you found your place, if you will, or when did theater start to like really become a part of your life?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I had always been interested in being an actor, in theater, in the little skits I do, in middle school and joining high school drama. That was my people, you know. We're weird and we're intelligent and we're creative. But it was always sort of, we're just having fun here, you know. It's weird because I didn't grow up realizing that there was a career opportunity for me in the theater. You know, I didn't see a professional show until I got to college, you know. I just thought it was sort of like, oh yeah, this is what we're doing for fun. And those people that I see on TV, they, you know, they got lucky and they were discovered down the street. I didn't know that there were, you know, schools to go to or training or classes or things like that until I got to college and I took some of those elective classes and I saw a professional show that sort of opened my eyes in a big way. And then I sort of knew, okay, this is the path that I want to pursue. This is something that I want to do seriously and I want to train for it. And I want to sort of lead my life towards this vocation, you know.
Yeah. What was the show that you saw, your first professional show?
I knew you were going to ask this. It sounds silly, but Spring Awakening.
Okay, cool.
Spring Awakening. It's sort of like I'm seeing people my age in the show talking about growing up and mm-hmm. sex and puberty and all these adult themes that like were sort of taboo in my upbringing. It sort of just blew me away in terms of what they were doing on stage, what they were talking about on stage, and seeing people like myself doing that work.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny, now I get to work with someone who was a part of that show, and it's kind of nice to tell him that, you know, that show really meant a lot to me.
Yeah, wow.
So Steven Spinella, I work with Steven Spinella now, and they just had a reunion, I know, that's coming out on HBO or something. I'm like plugging their show.
and now you get to be that person for a young person that Steven was to you. You know, someone seeing your show at Harry Potter and, you know, down the road 10 years from now or however many years that young person might be saying the same thing. Oh, I saw Harry Potter and it changed my life.
Yeah, that's really a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's a privilege.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations for being a part of it. That's, you know, it's an amazing show.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Tell me a little bit about your experience with the show. The ensemble is like such a key component to making the magic happen. Just share a little bit about that. Maybe a couple of the moments during the show where it's like, wow, you wouldn't believe what we have to do to like make this happen. And I know there's some stuff you can't say because of, you know, all that. I'm just in a sense of like execution of like, wow, you'd have no idea.
Yeah. Our show is, you know, first of all, it's so unique to be a part of a show that was once, you know, how long was it? Maybe 6 hours, mm-hmm. right? And now it's 3.5 hours. So before, it was split in two parts, and maybe you're doing everything that you do 4 times a week, right? For part one and 4 times a week for part two. Now it's all crunched in. And so when you think of quick changes, they're quicker. That scene that you had a break is no longer there. So you're going boom to boom. And a lot of the time, you may not see the ensemble, but we're working behind the scenes to make the magic happen. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting about this show, too, is that we're working so closely and so in sync that I can't just do my steps and my track. I have to be cognizant about how what I'm doing affects how the other person is, say, moving that staircase, and are we in sync, and all these things. Mm-hmm. So my track in particular, you know, is just sort of spread throughout, you know, running around. I had to request some of my changes to come and be on deck, you know, because I didn't have time to, you know, run to the dressing room and change and come back.
Yeah.
This ensemble, I think, is so in tune and so, they're just so marvelous, and it's great to be a part of it. We're busting ass for three and a half hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Were you a Harry Potter fan at all growing up? Did you read the books, or what was your history? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I read all the books.
So this is very cool for you to be in the show.
I think so. Yeah. Absolutely.
And
to invite my family. Have my family come, and they read all the books and they saw the movies. Yeah. We're huge fans.
I like to ask that question because it's unique in the sense that while you were reading the books, there was no such thing as the Broadway play. So never could you be saying, oh, this is a dream of mine. No, you just were a fan and loving Harry Potter and the books. And then all of a sudden, boom, they make a show out of it and you're in it, which is such a cool full circle moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in the ensemble and I cover Sorting Hat and Bane, which is cool because the Sorting Hat in the movies is an actual hat. And on play, you know, it's personified. And I also cover Ron Weasley, which is one of my favorite characters from the books. So to be able to be Ron Weasley on stage sometimes is also pretty cool, because as you said, you know, I never thought I'd ever, you know, it's already been done. The movies have already been done, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you got to step into the world. That's cool. Yeah. I'll let you go here in just a sec. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you, you know, making it work right after your gym session. last one, as you balance a 3.5 hour show and you keep up with your fitness regimen, just life in general, you know, I know for my clients, they get overwhelmed, and a lot of it is about scheduling. It's about just being consistent. How have you kind of found your groove from day to day of being a professional actor? And also, you know, maintaining your body and maintaining your mental health. How is that from a day-to-day basis?
You know, there was this quote that I heard many years ago, I think from Matthew McConaughey. And he said, break one sweat a day. And that has sort of stuck with me for, you know, over a decade now. And that's what I try to do. So, you know, it's not about coming into the gym and logging hours on the weight room floor. You know, it's about showing up every day or doing something, anything, the bare minimum even. It could be I walked to work instead of taking the train because the weather's really nice and I'm getting my steps in. It could be I'm really tired, but I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to get on the mat and make an effort to stretch and make an effort to warm up. And maybe that's all I have in me, but it's cumulative, you know? So it adds to my being limber and it adds to my consistency, you know? Sometimes all I have is 20 minutes, but I got to do something. I got to break my one sweat a day or two or three sweats a day. You know, it doesn't really matter as long as I'm making a habit of being active. And so some of my castmates are surprised that, you know, oh, you went to the gym before a two-show day? Yeah, I did. because moving my body is a priority for me, you know? And we do have a group warm-up before our show. So we actually show up an hour before half hour for a group warm-up. And our show is very physical. So, like, you know, you're getting your sweat in doing the job, you know? But it's a part of my lifestyle to just move every day. The pandemic became really hard because everything closed down. And then I was outside doing stuff. And as soon as the gym opened, I got a job at the gym. You know, Broadway was closed. There were no acting opportunities. And I needed to, you know, make ends meet. And I got a job at the gym so that I could keep going to the gym and keep moving my body and be ready for when the time comes to sort of do 8 shows a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to say you have to train beyond your show. Like,
yeah.
if you're only physically capable to do the show, then it's already not good enough because you have to do the show 8 times a week. And then over 4 weeks, that's 32. And then over a year, I can't do the math, but you get it. You can't just be just good enough to get the job done. You have to be beyond the job. And yeah. Like you said, just showing up, and if it's just to stretch it out or warm up, it makes a big difference over time. So yeah. Thanks for saying that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate your time. I'll get you out of that little room there in the gym and get you on.
This was so great. I could talk to you forever. Like I'm not hot anymore.
Oh, you're good now.
I'm not
you're good.
Sweating.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Like, all right. This is so great.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm relieved with that.
Yeah. It's all
right. Well, then can I just ask one more question then?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're probably like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Now he's keeping.
No. I got plenty of time. we're hanging out, man.
Yeah. As promised, I said the interviews are very much just a coffee shop chat. So when I get back up to New York, we'll have to do the real thing and meet for a coffee. Right. But I wanted to ask.
I'm sad I didn't see you when you were here. Yeah,
I know. We caught that glance, but I'm glad we did end up connecting, though. I wanted to ask about you went to school at Purdue. And it says you got a BA, but from what you're saying, you didn't go for acting or theater necessarily, or did you?
I didn't. It's an engineering school, and
it's a very good school.
Out,
you must be
it
very
is a
intelligent.
Very good school.
You must be a smart guy over there.
Believe it or not, I started in aeronautical engineering technology. They have an airport on campus. I had classes in the hangar.
Wow.
And I took like theater as an elective side thing, you know, again, this is a fun thing to do. And what I noticed for myself was that I was doing well in school. I was getting my 4.0 in that program. But everyone around me, you know, oh, I've wanted to be a pilot since I was 5 years old. Oh, I've wanted to do this my whole life. And I sort of was not in that headspace for that program, but I found my love in the theater classes, you know? So by the end, I sort of changed my major and sought out more opportunities to do what made me happy, but also to train seriously. So yeah, that's where I started at Purdue. And then I went to University of California, Irvine. I got my MFA.
Yeah. How was making that decision? Was it easy for you, or was it like, wow, I've already poured so much of my time into this first, you know, studies? Am I going to really do this? How did your parents take it? You know, that kind of thing.
Hell no. it was not easy. It was not taken, you know, with a smile. it was a hard many conversations. And I sort of had to prove that, you know, this is where I belong. This is serious. This is financially feasible. I sort of had to make it on my own and sort of show my parents that, you know, this is what I'm going to do and I'm serious about it, you know, and they ended up supporting me after, but it was not easy switching from aeronautical engineering technology.
Yeah. Wow. What a transition.
Yeah.
Okay. OG, thank you so much for being on the episode. I appreciate you a ton.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Joe. This was
all right, everyone. That was OG Gulue. And if you want to check out his Instagram, you can check out the description of this episode. It is I Am OG, and you can check out his website as well. You can just click right in the description of this episode. If you like the podcast, please follow, subscribe, double click, swipe up, whatever platform you're doing. Just share the love if you like what we got going on. All right. I'm Joe Roscoe. Later.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.